Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night to Bible Crossfire. As the announcer said, you can give us a call if you have a Bible question or comment at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought I might comment upon something some new friends from Texas pointed out to me a couple weeks ago about a church, a congregation in Des Moines, Iowa, that had put up on their marquee sign, "Gay is not okay." And when they did that, it seemed to cause a little disturbance. There was protesters, the lesbians and the gays protested against it. What about that, putting up on its marquee sign this expression, "Gay is not okay"? Does the Bible really teach that gay is not okay? Or does the Bible teach, like some of the gay churches would have us to believe, that gay is okay, that that's fine with God? Well, I think the way to answer any Bible question is to go to the Bible and see what it has to say. Does the Bible teach that gay is okay, as that church preached? Or does the Bible teach that, the church preached gay is not okay. Does the Bible teach that? Or does it teach that gay is okay? Let's look at, to start with, Romans 1, 24 and 26 through 27. The Bible says there, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat." So the Bible here in verse 26 talks about lesbians. In verse 27 it talks about gay men. And notice these phrases, these terms about how it describes these relationships: uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, in error. And so the Bible clearly condemns all forms of homosexuality in Romans 1, verses 26 and 27. Some say, well, aren't homosexuals born that way? Well, not only did Romans 1, 26 through 27 teach that it was a sin, that being gay was a sin, but it was unnatural. It uses that term, it's against nature, leaving the natural use, change the natural use. So it's against, not only is it a sin, it's against nature. Nobody is born that way. So that congregation in Des Moines, Iowa, that was preaching that gay is not okay, they were exactly correct. That's exactly what the Bible teaches, and that's exactly what every church, every congregation should stand for, that gay is not okay. So I have some appreciation for that congregation in Des Moines, Iowa, for they're willing to stand for the truth, even though the media, even though society would be against them, and there were even protests, I think, in the area of their church building because of this. They were willing to stand for the Bible truth, gay is not okay, and that's what we need to be willing to stand for also. What about gay marriage? Well, let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 19, 4 through 5. He says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." And so when Jesus is referring back to Genesis 2 and the institution of marriage, and he says God made them male and female, that a man should leave his father and his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. I've heard this little cutesy saying, and it makes a good point. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So when Jesus refers back to the institution of marriage, Jesus makes it clear that God instituted marriage between male and female, not between male and male, not between female and female. Gay marriage is condemned by the Bible. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, we've mentioned a couple of New Testament passages, but the Old Testament also condemned homosexuality. For example, I'm reading in Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. So, this passage basically says if a man has relations with another man, as he would with a woman, then both men have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. So in the Old Testament, this was a capital offense. Not only was this a sin, but people were put to death for this particular sin. A companion passage, as I would think of it, to Leviticus 20 is Leviticus 18, 22 through 23. And we're going to see from this passage that homosexuality is basically put in the same category as bestiality, or as I like to mispronounce the word bestiality to help people understand what we're talking about. We're talking about having sex with an animal, with a beast. Surely everybody in our listening audience can tell, understands that to be wrong. Well, the Old Testament in Leviticus 18 put homosexuality in the same category as bestiality. In other words, a man having sex with a man or a woman having sex with another woman is pretty much the same thing as a man or woman having having sex with an animal. Let me read Leviticus 18, 22 through 23. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. So, the man was forbidden with lying with another man, sexually, of course. He says, neither shalt thou lie with a beast. You see, it's pretty much put in the same category. One is just as bad as the other. Homosexual relations were put in the same category by the Old Testament as bestiality, a man or a woman having sex with an animal. That should tell us how God looks at this. And of course, there are many passages in the New Testament that condemn this sin also. Gay is not okay. Not according to God. It may be okay according to President Obama, but it's not okay according to God and His Word. And if we want to be a faithful Christian, we cannot engage in this practice any more than any other sin. All sin must be repented of if you want to be saved. Luke 13:3. Homosexuality is the same way. You can be forgiven for this sin, but you have to repent. You have to quit. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or a comment on this topic or any other Bible topic, 877-655-6755. The number again is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Let's look at some other New Testament passages. Let me read 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10 from the Simple English New Testament. We also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those that break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he trusted to me. Notice we have a list of sins in that text, in that passage. And one of the lists, one thing on the list is homosexuals. This goes against the healthy teaching of the glorious gospel according to this passage. We said that was from the Simple English New Testament. The New American Standard Version there has homosexuals. The New King James Version has sodomites there. And the Living Bible has homosexuals there. And so 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 is a New Testament that would condemn homosexuality, that would condemn gay marriage. And so that congregation in Des Moines, Iowa, that was standing for the truth by saying gay is not okay, they were exactly right. According to the Bible. Charles from Georgia, yes. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
All right, my question is, it talks about when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it wanders around in dry places, finding no rest, says it'll go back to its house, finding it clean and swept, and unoccupied, and then it goes and gets several other spirits worse than itself, comes back and goes back into the person, which is the house, and it says the condition becomes worse than the first time it was there. My question is, is this only happen to people that are not saved yet, or can unclean spirits come out of Christians and come back?
Well, Charles, there's an interesting passage in the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 13. I guess, are you driving right now, or can you turn in your Bible to look along with me?
Yeah, I can turn in it. I'm parked. I've got my Bible right here in my car. Hold on.
I'm going to read it to you as you turn to it. In Zechariah 13:1, it says, "In that day," and this is a prophecy about the coming, about what's upcoming. It says, "In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Are you with me, David? Charles, I mean, are you with me, Charles?
Yeah, let me see. It's what's the book again?
Zechariah 13:1. "There'll be a fountain open in that day for sin and for uncleanness." It's obviously talking about the death of Christ, the first coming of Christ. And it says, "It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." Now, we examine that whole context, Charles, and we don't have time to examine the whole context tonight. But if you do, you'll see that the phrase "in that day" is referring to the time period of the first coming of Christ. And you'll see that it's talking about prophets, and we're talking about true prophets here. There won't be any more true prophets. And at the same time that prophecy ceases, unclean spirits will cease. And so now, Charles, 1 Corinthians 13 teaches that prophecy and tongues and so forth, they've stopped. At the same time that the miraculous gifts stopped, when the New Testament was completed, 1 Corinthians 13, God did not allow unclean spirits to go around anymore. It says the unclean spirits will pass out of the land in that day, Zechariah 13, verse 2, and "in that day" is talking about the time period of the first coming of Christ. So unclean spirits don't have that power anymore. You follow what I'm saying, Charles?
Yeah, but that really flies in the face of a lot of deliverance ministries that actually see people delivered of this stuff.
I can't help that the Bible actually teaches that during the days, the time period of the first coming of Christ, that during that time, of course, in the first century before Christ, before the miraculous gifts ceased, there were unclean spirits possessing people. But now, according to this text, there are no more unclean spirits that possess people. That doesn't happen anymore. God doesn't let that happen anymore. That's what the Bible teaches in Zechariah 13, 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 13. That the unclean spirits would stop when the miraculous gifts stopped. And that stopped when the completion of the New Testament happened. Charles, do you have any follow-up?
So you're saying that Matthew 12 was written while that was still happening, but it was before the time that the unclean spirits were not able to, were caused to not be able to do that anymore.
That's exactly what the Bible teaches, Charles. You got it right. We don't have to worry about those anymore.
Well, then,
unclean spirits.
Why is it that people go to deliverance ministries and have the demonic spirits cast out of them and they're healed today? Why is that a reality then?
Charles, we're talking about homosexuality tonight, and I ask you a question. Why is there such a thing as gay churches? Doesn't mean that they are scriptural just because they exist. So just because people claim they can cast out unclean spirits, that doesn't mean God was wrong when he said the unclean spirits would pass out of the land in Zechariah 13, verse 2. We have to just accept what God says, not what men say. And God says that in the time period of the first coming of Christ, in that day, that in the same time period that there would be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, that's obviously referring to the death of Christ, when his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. In that time period, in that day, the unclean spirit will pass out of the land. So we don't have unclean spirits today. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches we don't have the prophecy in tongues today. That was to end when that which is perfect is come. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, which is the completed New Testament revelation. Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That was a very good question. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Another verse in the New Testament that condemns homosexuality, that would condemn gay marriage, is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So here's another list of sins like we found in 1 Timothy 1. And this list includes homosexuals and sodomites, as the New King James Version puts it. There's two different Greek words here. One of them, I'm not sure everybody is aware of this, but when you have, say, two men who are in a gay relationship, normally one of the men takes on the male role and one of them takes on the female role. The one taking on the female role sort of acts usually like a sissy, we might say. These two Greek words are condemning both of those types. The Greek word translated homosexuals here is the one in that gay relationship who takes on the male role, and the word translated sodomites here is the one who takes on the female role. So we have both different types in that relationship. Both of them are condemned by 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. It says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. If they want to go to heaven, they're going to have to repent of that sin. There's no two ways about it. So that church sign in Des Moines, Iowa, that said gay is not okay was right on the mark. Alex from Michigan, yeah. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I just wanted to say two quick things. The gentleman that called a second ago was asking about demonic possession. I think that Jesus does identify, he doesn't identify and say that, it might not be Jesus, but in the last days it says that people will be giving in to their own fleshly desires and entertaining these demonic things, okay, but I don't think it's saying that people are going to be possessed. I think that how people end up needing deliverance is they give into these things and their thought processes, and then they get caught in this trap where they think on things that they shouldn't be thinking about, and that's where they need, you know, prayer and deliverance. They need to go to the altar and confess to the Lord, and, you know, that's where they're seeking deliverance. I don't think it's necessarily demonic possession, but again, I think there's a reference in the Bible where it says in the last days that men will be lovers of their own flesh, and then there's something about where they'll be, giving in to these little spirit things. But forgive me for not being more specific. But
Alex, what was your second point? You wanted to make a second point.
My second point is this. I believe that I'm forgiven. I've gone to the Lord and I've asked Him to forgive me. I'm remarried. And sometimes, forgive me for that buzzing in the background if you hear something. Sometimes once in a while I struggle, like I'm, you know, still living in sin. You know, I was the one that caused, my first marriage to fail. There was a joint thing that happened. It wasn't necessarily one individual's fault. It was a joint thing that happened. And I left the marriage and, you know, got divorced and got remarried. And there's times where sometimes, I get caught up in this thinking that, you know, I'm still living in sin. You know, I committed adultery. I walked out of the marriage. And there's times where I just say, but then I've gone to the Lord several times and said, Lord, you know, for years, and the Lord's given me clarification. You know, he said, you're forgiven. This is, you know, in your past, it wasn't something where, you know, I just thought I was forgiven. I really felt like the Lord showed me a specific sign that
Alex,
said, you're forgiven.
Let me ask you what you think about Matthew 19:9, where Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. So if a man divorces his wife for any reason other than her cheating on him, other than fornication, remarries, he's committing adultery with that second wife. So how could he continue in that second marriage and continue to live in adultery? How could he do that any more than two gays could live together and commit homosexuality to expect to be saved? Do you follow my point, Alex?
Yes, I do. I do. And I believe that, you know, I've sought counsel from more than one pastor on this issue, okay? And the counsel that I've received is, you know, there was the sin committed. You were wrong. You went to the Lord and you asked him to forgive you. Your wife doesn't have to take you back, okay? And so at that point, you know, you kind of come to a conclusion that you're free at that moment. You know, I mean, you're not just wanting to believe into something that's outside of the scripture, but there was other things. Go ahead.
I'm gonna have to wrap up the call right now. I'm gonna go ahead and hang up, Alex, because we got to get off the air in about 2 or 3 minutes.
But
continue to listen. I'll make
yes.
Continue to listen. I got 2 or 3 more minutes. Thank you, Alex, for your call.
Thank you.
Another passage I would like Alex to consider, and this is just an illustration. In Mark 6:17-18, we read, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And so evidently Herodias had divorced Philip unscripturally and now had married Herod. And John the Baptist, speaking for God, said it's not lawful for you to have her. In other words, not just, okay, you can say you're sorry and stay in the marriage, but it's not lawful for you to have her. In other words, you have to terminate that marriage. You have to get out of that marriage. You can't continue to commit adultery with that wife you have no right to. You got to get out of that marriage, quit committing that adultery, so you can be saved. So we'll let that be considered. Mark 6:17-18. One final question on homosexuality. Can homosexuals stop this sin if they put their mind to it? Well, remember 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, which we've already read. Well, verse 11 says, "Such were some of you." So when these people became Christians, some of them had been homosexuals. But the Bible says, "Such were some of you," past tense. They had quit being homosexuals, according to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, when they became Christians. And so homosexuals can quit being homosexuals. As a matter of fact, that's what would be required of them. If they want to be saved, to become a Christian, you got to repent of your sins, and that would mean you have to quit being a homosexual to be saved. And if you want to be a Christian, a faithful Christian, you have to get out of adultery. Any adulterous marriages you'd have to get out of. We appreciate you listening tonight. Appreciate the interesting and good calls. If you want to continue any conversation throughout the week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com or send me a text, 256-682-9753.